Ronnie Brewer Jr. is in the zone. What's up, Ronnie? How you doing, buddy?
What's going on? How are you?
Pretty good. You're here with Pat Bradley, Freaky Joe Franklin, and Steve Sullivan, Channel 7's finest.
Thank you for having me.
So, did we keep you from any workouts?
No, I'm actually just finishing up in the weight room. I'm still actually dieting.
Attaboy. So you in Chicago right now?
No, I'm in Fayetteville right now.
Okay, back at it.
I'm up in Walton right now.
Who are you working out with down there? Do you just work out by yourself, the strength coach, or the few other guys up there that you work out with?
Well, right now I'm working out with Coach D. You know, he's a head strength and conditioning coach at Arkansas, and you know, right now I'm just working out by myself. But usually later in the summer, a few guys come down and join the workouts.
When you work out in a weight room, are you working on maintenance? Because clearly, you know, athletically, you look fine to me. But are you working on trying to get stronger? Are you trying to put muscle on? Are you trying to just maintain what it is you have? Or is there any particular things that, in the weight room strictly, not talking about your basketball game, that are you trying to improve?
I think in the off season, it's the time to improve everything. You know, on the court and especially off the court. And off the court, you know, you want to get bigger, stronger, quicker, faster. And you know, there's a lot of things that I've been focusing on every off season. I want to improve. And you know, Coach Deets is doing a wonderful job with helping with my flexibility and help me improve to be a better basketball player.
Well, it's time for the NBA playoffs. NBA playoffs talk. Obviously, the Chicago Bulls had a tough first round. You know, I thought you guys were going to win the East.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to end up playing the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals because I thought the matchup with the Heat the Celtics had. But just talk, you know, Derrick Rose's injury, Joakim Noah's injury. Just talk a little bit about that series going into it and the struggles during the series.
Well, you know, going into the series, we liked our chances. You know, we were the first seed, they were the AC, so we were highly favored. You know, game one, I mean, I felt like we played a pretty strong game. But, you know, as people saw, you know, Derrick Rose went down with the ACL injury. And even though we won, you know, it felt like we had lost the game by 20 or 30 points. You know, it was really silent in the arena, silent in the locker room. And, you know, with something like that, it's kind of hard to bounce back from. And, you know, we had a poor showing in game two. I don't want to take anything away from the 76ers because they played a phenomenal series. They played a phenomenal second-round series against the Celtics. But, you know, with Joakim going down later in Philly, it was just kind of tough to bounce back from, especially when we weren't playing our best basketball at the time.
So when D. Rose goes down as a team, do you look at it as this guy is so talented, where are we going to get that production from? Or, you know, because a lot of people are looking now, the same thing with the Heat, they just ask for more production from those big two.
For sure. You know, when D. Rose went down, we've had to play, you know, majority of the season without him. So we felt like, you know, even though he was the MVP, that we can definitely get wins when he's not on the court. We have enough around us. We're a good enough team where if we play great team basketball, we can win. But we weren't playing great basketball, and it cost us, you know. And with the Joakim going down too and being shorthanded again, you have to play your best basketball. And everybody as a team, you know, from top to bottom, has got to play their best basketball. And we were playing good, but, you know, down the stretch, we didn't execute as well as we were capable of doing, and it cost us in the long run.
You're part, for anyone that follows you on Twitter, and I got to ask you about that because you probably got to be sending out the most tweets of some of these pro athletes, but they're good tweets for sure. I follow you. Everyone knows you're part of the bench mob, right? Isn't that what they call you guys? Or you call yourselves
that? Yeah. Basically, you know, last year, you know, the guys who came in were having a lot of success. You know, some ESPN guy was saying that we were like the best bench in the NBA. And, you know, we took that to heart. And, they started calling us the second win. Whenever the sale, you know, there's no win in the sales from the first unit, they're not playing their best basketball. Tips, something, and then we're the second win, and I thought that was kind of corny. And so me and T.J. Watson was like, man, we like some goons out there. Like we like a bench mob.
There you
go. Come in there, we try to take over the game. And
right. And
you know, Chicago, it kind of stuck. You know, they started making T-shirts, started making signs.
Well, yeah, the mob up there at Al Capone and everything, for sure.
Yeah, I think they started saying something about it on ESPN. So we stuck with it, and it kind of blew up. So it's all fun games, and, you know, we really enjoyed it, and we had a lot of fun with it.
It is fun, but the reality of it is you guys are extremely important. When you look at San Antonio, their bench, I don't want to steal a bench mob, but their bench players, you look at how the Heat's, you know, role players stepped up.
Mm-hmm.
So even Oklahoma City Thunder, you got James Harden coming off the bench. So that bench mob, as you say, you know, a lot of people look at it and say, bench is not the bench about it. If it isn't for you guys, you're not finishing number one in the Eastern Conference. And do you see that as your role next year coming out? Or do you guys talk about that over the course of this summer? How, you know, is it the bench mob again? Or are you guys going to change up a lineup?
I mean, you never know. I always thought that, you know, to win championships, you have to, one, rebound, two, defend, and three, you have to have other people other than your superstars step up and play well. And, you know, like you said, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Miami as of late when they've had a lot of success, those guys who are not in the headlines a lot, they step up big and make plays. That pushes them over the hump and allows them to win games. So we don't really talk about it. You know, whatever your role is that the coach, you know, puts you out there, you have to fulfill that to your best of your ability. If like last year, he told me to start, I started a lot of games. He told me to, you know, come off the bench, I came off the bench. And all I could do is do that to the best of my ability. And, you know, that's where I stand on that. And I think every person on our team feels the same exact way.
Ronnie Brewer joining us, Chicago Bull, former Razorback. And I know you're doing a lot of good things, too. Do you got any camps set up? I was looking at you also have something called the Brew Crew Foundation.
It's a non-profit organization. I was raised in Northwest Arkansas, so I try to do as much as I can in the community. I'm going to try to venture down to Little Rock and around Arkansas to try to, you know, make some positive impact on this state and the community I have grown up in. I'm actually having a basketball camp at the Boys and Girls Club in Fayetteville, July 6th to the 11th. And that's basically to raise money. Last year, I made a pledge that I was going to try to raise as much money as I possibly can to try to build a gym because, you know, this area, it's growing very, very, very fast.
Right.
And the Boys and Girls Club is very overpopulated, and, you know, it tends that where, you know, if it wasn't for basketball, for me, I don't know where I'd be. So a lot of the kids don't have the opportunity to even play because, you know, you have after-school programs that are fulfilling the gym or different other programs trying to play kickball or frisbee or whatever on the basketball court. So I'm trying to build a gym, another recreational area, a computer area, a home ec area. And it made me start the Ronnie Brewer Foundation, where I have an annual dinner, and I have a bowling event, and that's 2 days after my basketball camp on the 13th and 14th. So just trying to do some good things in the community, man, and try to stay positive. You know, a lot of athletes always get put in the media about the negative stuff they do or dumb decisions that they make. And, you know, I just try to go out there and make positive decisions and be positive in the community so kids can have something to look up to.
Well, certainly everyone watches your games with pride and everything that you do. So let's switch over to what's going on right now in the playoffs. Last night, Celtics Heat. Pretty much everyone probably thought the Celtics were going to get a game. It was going to be game two. I guess I don't really even know where to start with this because you know these teams better than anyone because you play with them throughout the entire game, but when you look at these games, the third quarter seems so important. You can even look at last night, game one. Why is the third quarter so important? Last night, the Heat outscored the Celtics 35-22 after a pretty good first half by the Celtics, a decent fourth quarter, but the third quarter seems always to bite these teams in the rear end. Why is that?
Man, to me, basketball is a game of rhythm and momentum. And, you know, Coach Tibbs used to always say, man, the game is won. People always think the game is won in the fourth quarter. Oh, yeah, you got to play all four quarters. The first 5 minutes of the first quarter is very important. The first five and the second, the first five and the third, and the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter are all key moments. And if you look, you know, the team that played the best in the third quarter, they usually, you know, won the game. So, but in my opinion, you know, the series is not over in either one of them just because it's two, bro. You know, you play the whole entire year to get home court. You're right. Supposed to win at home. So San Antonio did what they were supposed to do. Miami did what they were supposed to do. So the challenge now is how is Oklahoma City and how is
Celtics
going to, you know, reply and
right.
when they're faced with some adversity. So game three is going to be crucial for both teams, and I'm looking forward to see how they're going to turn out.
Are you comfortable giving a prediction on each series?
Man, I hate to give predictions, but, you know, the Spurs are looking really good. They're playing great team basketball. Tim Duncan came back alive. Parker's playing tremendous. Ginobili's playing really well. And then they got all their role players step in and do their job.
Right.
So it's gonna be tough for Oklahoma City to win this series, but I think that Oklahoma City is so young
mm-hmm.
that – when they get at home and their crowd is behind them, I think it's gonna uplift them and allow them to play really well. So, you know, game three is gonna be crucial for them. If they can get game three, it's a whole new series. But if they go down 3-0, it's gonna be tough for them to come back. And
now, be careful yeah. now. You know, me and Sully are from Boston, so don't crush it. Don't crush our dreams.
No,
okay?
No. I'm not. I like Doc Rivers. He's a great coach. You know, everybody thought that. You know, it'd be a 4-0 sweep. But in my opinion, you know, it was last night was Boston's game, and they allowed it to slip through their fingers. I think we're going to watch film, dissect everything that went wrong in that game. And I think game three, they're going to come out really strong. And, you know, if you get Rondo to play like he did last game, it's going to be tough to beat those guys, especially, you know, Ray Allen starting to get confidence back in his shot. Paul Pierce, if he stayed on the court and then fell out,
yeah,
that might be a completely different outcome.
Why? When I see these games, right, I've been watching the Celtics, Paul Pierce, and those guys for a long time. Sometimes it seems that they seem not engaged from the opening tip, and that mm-hmm. almost carries out throughout the entire game, especially with Pierce and even Rondo sometimes. Is that mm-hmm. are there just different guys out there that some – I don't want to use the word aloof, but – just don't seem engaged. And last night they come out aggressive offensively, and it kind of changes how the whole team goes. Is that something that you've noticed with certain players throughout the season?
Well, I think some guys in this league play within the game, let the game come to them. Now, I think, you know, Paul Pierce, Rondo, those are guys who don't really force, you know,
yeah.
the effort and the emphasis of trying to be over aggressive.
Right.
You know, Rondo's is, you know, the ultimate point guard where he's going to look to pass before he shoots. He's going to set his teammates up and for the most part, make the right play almost every time. And whenever you have him being aggressive, I think that ignites, you know, everybody from top to bottom. You know, Brandon Bass being aggressive, getting more rebounds than he did. You know, Peter's trying to be aggressive. KG being aggressive. And, you know, I think they're following suit of what Rondo was doing. So, for me, for them to have success, they're going to have to do that from the tip and not wait as long because, you know, when LeBron and D-Wade gets going, it's kind of really hard to slow those guys down.
Speaking of that, and this will be, unless these other guys, we got something, my last basketball question, I want to ask you a couple more about some things that possibly in the future for you, but you brought mm-hmm. up D-Wade and LeBron. Is it possible? Mm-hmm. How can you stop these guys? You defended them. You locked mm-hmm. them down. You're known to be the stopper. How can you slow these guys down?
Well, you know, you used to be a scorer.
That's right. I'm glad you brought that up, Ron. A lot of people forgot about that.
No, I'm just saying when the thing that gives you confidence, if you're struggling from shooting the basketball, driving the ball to the basket and getting fouled and going to the free throw line and knocking it down, the ball goes to the net, I mean, that sparks confidence. And I think a lot of people are bailing out that they tend to foul a lot more and allow, you know, LeBron to get to the line Dwayne Wade to get to the line. You know, you got to play solid. You got to play them straight up. And you got to force them to be jump shooters. You got to make them – I mean, if you're going to lose, you're going to lose by them hitting, you know, 12 to 13 to 14 jump shots instead of, you know, layup, and then go to the free throw line 20 times.
Right.
And, you know, it's hard for you to win a game when you put a guy on the line that many times and you allow the guy to get easy points and fast breaks and easy drives to the basket. So if they do go to the basket, you have to foul them and don't allow them to get a layup. And then you got to stay solid and make them become jump shooters.
Man, I see a career for you, no question. I see a career in breaking down these games, TV, radio.
Coach.
What do you think? You want to be a coach? What would you want to do, coach or get on radio? I'm telling you, radio, you get fat real quick, but you don't have to do your hair in the morning. You don't have to dress nice. TV, Sully's in TV. He's got to always look good. He's got the whitest teeth in the whole, I think, in all of Arkansas. But.
Hey, one question, Ronnie. Just on who gives you the most fits as far as the guy who, after the night's over, you say, man, I'm glad this guy's gone to another city to play.
Man,
not necessarily scoring, just a guy that's tough to prepare for.
To be honest, it's different ways. When you play Oklahoma City and you go against Kevin Durant, they list him at 6'9", 6'10". With his arm span, he's really like 7'7", shooting, you know, deep three-pointers. Mm-hmm. He posts up and shoots fades, so he's a super hard matchup. And then guys like LeBron and Carmelo, guarding those guys, they're so much bigger, but still so athletic. You know, after you play those guys, you don't know if you went through a football game or a boxing match. I mean, you're bruised up and banged up.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have ice packs everywhere. Like, you know, you just went through, you know, 15 rounds of heavyweight champs. So those guys are tough. And you know, Kobe and D-Wade are so smart players getting to the basket. Mm. You know, it's really hard to really shut any of those guys down. You can just try to slow them down and contain them, you know. And to me, you know, LeBron might be one of the best players, but I think most gifted offensively guarding is probably Kobe, because he posts up, he can shoot, you know, mm-hmm. left-hand hook shots, right-hand hook shots, fade away over either shoulder. If he wants to get 10 assists, he can pass the ball. He wants to get to the basket. He can get to the basket and finish with contact. Shoots about 90% from the free throw line. So it's some of the things that he can't really do. And there's nothing that you can't really focus in and be like, yo, if you make him do this, you have a chance. It's just you got to hope that he maybe off or misses some shots. So
if you're defending anybody with 10 seconds left, fourth quarter of a game, the last person you want to be defending is Kobe.
No, I would not want to have to defend him. Like, if you look at his history, he's hit so many game winners.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing about
LeBron.
Him, he wants, like, you know, Kobe wants the ball in his hand.
Right.
You know, he wants people to be like, you know, you missed that shot. Like, he takes that up on his shoulders, that it doesn't bother him because he's made so many game winning shots that, you know, great players want to take the last shot. And that, to me, that's why I respect him the most out of the league, because even if he misses, he still wants to put the team on his back and take that last shot.
That's good stuff, Ronnie. We appreciate it. And Twitter, are you getting restrictions on Twitter? You can just tweet out whatever you want. I know you're on that thing before games, after games, halftime. I'm waiting for a tweet during a game.
No, I don't tweet during halftime or during a game. You know, they got rules where you can't tweet at certain times, so I'm not trying to get fined. I'm not trying to give away my money. But Twitter is, you know, it's fun. I try to follow people to get a good laugh. You know, some people spit good knowledge on there. And, you know, for the most part, it's good to connect with, like, you know, people across the country. So it's a good form. It allows me to have some fun with the fans and interact with them and get up close and personal a little bit.
Man, I appreciate you taking the time, and don't want to hold you up anymore because I know you're probably going to hit that gym again after lunch.
Yes, sir.
All right, well, I'll be in touch, and if you want to hit us up again at the end of the playoffs, we'd love to have you during the NBA championship round or you know, right up before that camp. We'll help hit that up for you.
I appreciate that, man.
All right, Ronnie, be good. Thanks again.
All right, thanks for having me.